Hi, everybody. I'm Ann Lohnfels, and I'm going to get close to the mic so you can hear me in the back. I'm a research scientist with the New York State Department of Health, and I focus on chronic disease prevention. And for the last 10 years, I've been in the role of program evaluation. So full disclosure, I'm not an epidemiologist, but I'm here to share with you some of the things that we've learned about how to get from a logic model to useful results. And my emphasis is going to be on the getting from, because it's pretty easy to get sidetracked and lose your way. And also to the use, I'm going to also be emphasizing useful results, because it's also, I've noticed, very easy to collect a lot of information that's not that useful in the end. So those are my two topics of emphasis. And this is not in the right place. If I can move it. Okay. Yeah. What do I press here? Let's see. Woo. Okay, so I'm also supposed to do a disclaimer, and I'm going to tell you that I am receiving funding from all of the grants that are listed on the screen, and I think probably a lot of you guys are receiving funding from that too. All kidding aside, I did want to start off by just telling you how my topics fit into overall sort of like the connection between all these different grants and sort of as an introduction. I wanted to explain that in New York State we got funding from the Sodium Reduction in Communities program in 2010, and that started us in our focused work on the food service environments, and that was a good way. It's a small sort of like a pilot type of project where you have intensive opportunity to focus in certain settings and do a sort of more in-depth evaluation with individual level data. So that was like our starting point. But we later, in 2013, like the rest of you, I think, received funding for 1305, state public health actions. You just heard a lot about that. And that also had a requirement in it to work on food service environments. So we were able to like transfer our learnings from sodium to that. And then a year later, we received, like you all, the 1422 funding. And that also had a requirement of working on food service environments. So there again, you know, very similar type of project work, which I'm going to talk about in my next slide, what is the project work. And then we assume that coming up, we're hoping that coming up, there'll be other federally funded, CDC-funded grant opportunities to work on food service environments so that we can continue to transfer our program activities and our learnings. So now I want to talk about how we I'm going to focus on 1305 today. Oh, yeah, because the topic of this group is 1305, so I'm going to focus on 1305 and not on all the rest of those grants that are doing similar work. And I want to talk about, for just to lay the groundwork, how we structure our 1305 work in New York State. So pretty much what we were able to do was align our 1305 funding for food service environment with some state funding that also focused on food service environment. And it took us a couple of years to basically get that alignment going. But midway through the grant of the 1305 grant, we had fully were up and running with this state-level effort called Creating Healthy Schools and Communities. So I see now that everybody's renaming everything. So that's what our state-funded effort is called. So that's a five-year grant, and as you see, it started in the middle of 1305, and it'll end after it, but it was specifically designed, the program activities were specifically designed to align with 1305 funding requirements in terms of the local work. So for that grant, we had 25 grantees that were scattered throughout New York State. They were targeting high-need school districts and high-need communities that you can see on the map in New York State that were identified based on disease factors and also different other poverty and socioeconomic indicators. So that's how we identified which districts and communities they'd be working in, and that's a map of where they're working. So, yeah. So now I'm going to talk about what kind of work they were doing, and then I'm going to talk about getting from logic model. Remember, I was supposed to talk about getting from logic models to useful results, so we're starting with the logic model. Here's where we're starting now. And just like any other logic model on the left, you see what kind of program activities were being conducted. In the middle, you see like kind of like short-term outcomes, and in the far right, you're going to see the long-term outcomes. So the important, let's see, what do I, let's check my notes here, see what I wanted to emphasize here. Well, basically, those strategies and activities that are on the left in on your left in red, those are being conducted in New York by those 25 grantees, those local contractors. So what they're sort of instructed to do for food service, what they're expected to do for food service environment work is to go recruit local partners like work sites and community settings, and then within those partnerships, identify stakeholders, work together to conduct an assessment of the situation, and then plan some kind of site-specific strategy, like something to do at that work site or in that community setting, and then part of their, then their work sort of continues ongoing and focuses more on educational activities. So that's like the left side. That's what our 25 grantees are doing. And then in the middle, this is kind of how policy system environmental changes are supposed to work, where all of the red stuff that I just described is supposed to yield nutrition policies, food service environmental changes, and access to healthy food is supposed to increase. I see everyone nodding, so you guys know what PSE is. So I'll move on. But let's not forget, before I move on, that on the far right, of course, all of that is supposed to increase consumption of healthy foods and decrease unhealthy and reduce the prevalence of obesity. So that's the logic model. So hold this in your mind, because remember, we're going to get from here to useful results. And we're going to get there by this evaluation grid. And, you know, I think most of us in this room are probably familiar with it. But the idea is that you take that logic model and you flip all of the items in the logic model to evaluation questions. And then you develop methods and data sources. And it's important to have on your evaluation grid a purpose column, because if you don't start off with that, you're not going to end with useful data. So our first evaluation questions are around the strategies. This is what we call process evaluation. Were the strategies even implemented? Were milestones achieved? And we, you know, collected ongoing data from our grantees, our 25 subcontractors, and we used a web-based performance monitoring system. And the purpose there was to monitor their progress, but it was also to be able to complete our APR for the 1305 grant funding. So we also worked on we also wanted to know what challenges were encountered and what resources were needed, because a lot of times you don't reach your milestones and you want to know why. So we conducted site-level assessments. The 25 grantees that we worked with conducted site-level assessments, and I'm going to talk about the data source we selected in just a minute. But again, here, it's important to notice that our purpose was to improve the program. We wanted to find out during the program what challenges were encountered, and then also we used the results of this assessment to complete our evaluation report, because this is one of the topics that we picked for our evaluation report for CDC, separate from the APR. And finally, our outcomes, we wanted to know, were nutrition policies adopted and did food service environments change? And so here we decided to do a pre-post assessment. I'm going to talk about the data collection tool in just the next slide. But the idea here on the bottom right here is that our plan is to use the pre-data to develop site-specific action plans. So depending on what you find with your assessment, then you know what you need to work on, and that we're planning to use the pre-post comparison to document success. So that's how we get from logic models to useful results. These are the three data sources. I mentioned Catalyst is on your far left. That's the performance monitoring system that we adopted for our grantees to send us data so we could roll it up for the CDC. In the middle and on the far right, we use CDC tools that were developed by the CDCs, but we adapted them for use in our program, mainly to make them more feasible. So the middle, Smart Food Choices was a tool that was specifically developed for public facilities and how to deal with food service environments in public facilities. But Appendix B was adapted by us for use with our grantees, and it works fine for work sites and for public facilities, municipalities. And the far right, the Work Site Scorecard, is much more, it's a long 16-section tool. We picked out nutrition and, well, also physical activity to use for our grantees and with this grant. So that's, and we did not have them submit data to the CDC's website for these. I know the Worksite Scorecard has a CDC website, but we developed our own SurveyMonkey website, and the data came to us in New York State Department of Health for those two components. So I'm going to go into results now, and you can help me, you know, just as a reminder of where we are. On your left is just a recap of what eval questions we were trying to answer with this data source. It's a reminder of which data source we used, and on the bottom, how we were planning to use it. For the Catalyst data source, you'll see that we just split out what we found from what we've accomplished with work sites and community settings. And the this is what the 25 grantees were able to accomplish to date. And so you'll see along the bottom, you know, those what we're calling milestones are basically those same activities that you saw in the logic model. So we're able to show how many, let's say, community settings. There were 220 community settings that recruited partners so far, and 179 of them were assessed so far, and 151 of them have picked a specific project to work on at that community setting. And there you can go on down towards the right. And the idea is that since we collect this information quarterly, that gradually the bars on the right would sort of move up and eventually reach where you are with the bar on the left. That's performance monitoring, and we use that information to report in our APR. So the next data source, I'm into sharing results now. Remember, on the left, you've got your challenges and your questions, and also your data source and our planned use. But on the right, we have some results. So this is where we want to find out what challenges were you encountering at the site level. And this information is really helpful for our DOH staff and for our trainer to help the contractors, the 25 grantees that are working in the communities. This is what, from the collection of all the sites that they were assessing, this is what they expected to encounter as challenges on the top. And they were asked for a list of resources. They were asked to rate how likely, whether they would want those resources. And so these are the things that floated to the top, and that helps our trainers know, like, where to focus their work so we can move forward effectively. And then the pre-post assessment. Right now, as I explained, our funding timeframes aren't aligned, so this is pre-only data. But the purpose of the pre-only data will be to develop action plans, and later, maybe next year, I'll be able to compare it with post data and hope to see improvements. But on the right, you can see at baseline, the work sites and community settings that we assessed, for vending machines, 15% of them had policies that had to do with healthy food. And for cafeterias or snack bars, 9%. And healthy meetings, you know, food at meetings, 8%. So lots and lots of room for improvement there, for sure. Then we also, same tool, we also asked specifics about the food service environments. Whether some served food, some didn't. About 64% served food. But we asked everybody these questions. And so on the left, you see what we learned about availability and affordability. And on the right, you see what we learned about nutrition information. So you can see these are like best practices. The facilities that have a place to prepare and store food are considered healthier, you know, so people can bring food from home if they want to. Farmers markets nearby. Discounts on healthier foods, much lower. We know that's one of the most effective ways to increase consumption, but only 10% at baseline. Hope to see that improving when we do our post-data collection. And then on the right, nutrition education provided is like just general flyers about how good it is to eat healthy. Of course, that's the most popular, probably the least effective. Moving on down, though, you see nutrient information provided. That means, like, when you go to buy the food, does it say how many calories or how much sodium? So there's only 12%. And then finally, signs or symbols that identify healthier foods, 10%. And these are some of the evidence-based options or opportunities for action that we can focus on. With such low percentages, there's a lot of room for improvement. So that's pretty much, I think, I'm moving towards being out of time. And so that's pretty much what I've got for how we got, you know, just a quick overview of how we got from a logic model to useful results. And I hope you're able to use, I know we've all had to collect a lot of information for 1305, and I hope you've been able to find that it was useful in some ways for your states as well. Thank you.